Oh, it's gone! Oh, got it! What a shot from Wilshere! Off the Amazon, the crossbar! Nice little chip! Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal!
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chad Gunner, and tonight I am joined by my friends Todd and Shelly. So Todd, how are things going up in Bradley County? And Shelly, how are things just the other side of the neighborhood?
They're just grand. They are lovely over here.
Keeping it rural up here in Bradley County.
I really wish we would have cooler weather like this morning. It felt so nice when I let the dogs out.
Yeah.
So it feels like turd now.
It does feel like turd.
We have move-in at the university for these past 2 days. And so from 2 to 5, I helped with move-in. And I'm not sure what I did to our housing staff to make them mad at me, but they sent me to one of our residence halls that has 3 stories, but no elevator. So... yeah, I was tarred when I got home.
I bet moving. You were. Were you also helping moving people?
Yeah, I was moving. Yes, that's what I was doing. I was helping like move stuff up.
That's awesome.
For some reason, between 2 and 5, everybody who came was on the 3rd floor. So bless their hearts. I got my steps in. I got my stairs in.
How many flights did you climb?
40.
You just don't see the dean of every university helping students.
No, you don't. That says a lot. Like, that's kudos right. to you. Yeah,
that's right. Well, I am completely and utterly out of shape. So that is, anyway, so that enough about me. Let's talk about, some soccer. I know that, this is going to be a painful one, and the intro music will reflect some of our pain. I haven't chosen it yet now, but by the time you were listening to this, you would have heard the intro music and you would know that what I was talking about, that would be, you know, you understand. So
I always like the fact that the music you choose mostly after we've had it to match up with the mood of the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I enjoy picking out music. I think I'm going to go with an old one. I have an idea.
I'm going to
go with. No, not Bob. That is not that we've never used that before. We're not going to be using that now.
Hey, we might as well should, because not a, the Mbop and our last performance, they do share a similarity. They both made me want to punch somebody in the face. So they do have that.
Well, you know that Hansen has a beer called Mhops.
No. Well, now they're old. I mean, you know, now I saw them and they're you know, oh, they're old.
You saw them?
On TV or something.
I was going to say, did you go to a concert?
Yeah, right, I did. Front row.
Like, Mbop!
Front row.
Your no, middle I of saw, nowhere no, t-shirt
they were on.
On
some show.
Jim, I'll have you know that just like the guys in the band themselves, like their music has matured.
It has.
Yes.
They are a complex group of musicians.
Okay. Yeah, one of them has like 10 kids. He has a lot of angst to sing about.
Well, I don't. Okay, so enough about Hansen. I didn't think we'd talk a lot about Hansen tonight.
Hey, you're the one that pulled it in the ditch. All right,
I did not. That was Shelly who brought it up. I did not bring that up. So anyway, let's.
You know what? You're the leader of this. You control this let's group.
Go.
Still your fault.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it's like
you're the ringmaster of this herding cats.
It's like herding cats, right? So let's just go down in the gutter and talk about the when do we play? Sunday evening.
Sunday and last Wednesday. Yep.
Yeah, we played. Well, we already talked about the.
We did. We discussed Wednesdays.
Game, so yeah. We need to go back to that. And, well, we might talk about it in some sense, but.
You know, okay, let's just start out with the fact that this game was on a Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay, there's our first what?
Yeah, Sunday. Right.
Sunday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sunday. So right. Let's start out with that. Number one, that's a bad omen right there. Mm-hmm. We are a team from the South. We're not used to doing anything on Sunday. Like, you don't.
It's a day of
nothing
rest.
Nothing happens on Sunday. Thank you.
Listen,
it's a day of rest.
You eat a whole lot of food. You watch some football. You just
some folks around here don't do anything on Saturday either. So
I'm just saying.
I mean, that's fair.
We got, you know what? They use that against us. We went up there in the land of the heathen and they use it against us.
That's right. Yeah. Well, maybe they're a bunch of, maybe Syracuse is Syracuse a lot, they have a lot of Seventh-day Adventists in Syracuse. And so maybe they were ready.
I don't know that they're known for their Adventist community, but Breezy, maybe we should call a friend, phone a friend. Maybe yeah, Breezy could let us know.
So we go up there, you know, we coming off of a very tough loss, 1-0 to Cal United. We fly up or drive up, I don't know, to Syracuse and take on Syracuse. The result does not go our way. And I think we've got a lot of things to talk about. We came home with a 3-0 loss. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Not by a long shot.
After the first 5 minutes, I saw that coming. I'm just going to tell you when you've watched enough in your life, and it almost doesn't matter what sport it is. Okay. But when you've watched enough competitions in your life, you know, when a team has came out flat.
Yeah.
And we could have not been more flat had we got ran over by a New York City bus 17 times. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I could tell by how we were approaching, like, defensively, our posture, our body language, it was all wrong. And I could tell Syracuse was up for it in the first 5 minutes. I could tell they were up for it. So, you know, right off the bat, I knew we were in for it. Well, I don't know if I saw 3-0, but I just didn't like what I saw.
Let's start with the lineup. You know, we only had one change from the lineup that started. I think we only had one change from a lineup that started against Cal, and that was Reddington in goal. The other 10 players were the same across the back. We had Ward, Martinez, Stripling, and Robertson, and Cerro, Dixon, McGrath in the midfield. Jaimez out on the wings with Nagelstad, leading the line up top. So, you know, it's the same system. This pretty much the same lineup with one change. Gonzalez was on the bench. So, you know, it may have just been an opportunity, you know, giving Reddington an opportunity to play a little bit, because he did play pretty well while, Gonzalez was out with that injury. Any thoughts on the starting lineup? Any overarching kind of thoughts about who we ran out there?
No, I will say just a precursor. I wasn't, you know, when I said last week that I wanted to see a little bit of change up, see some players off the bench, I was hoping it, you know, the way to get Spielman off the bench was not the reasoning, a red card
in under 10 minutes.
Not what I meant, world, yeah. universe. I didn't mean let's get a red card. Yeah, I guess I should have been a little bit more specific with what I was praying for at that point, because.
So Todd, any feedback from you?
But let's be, the lineup is, I did not have any issue about the lineup at all. I mean, Reddington deserves a run out. You want to keep both keepers, you know, happy. I'm good with that.
Okay. My only concern with this is what I said last week, Todd, when you weren't here, I don't know if you listened, but what I said that these starters are getting a lot of minutes on their legs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as we get later and later in the season, you worry about them kind of hitting a wall. And, you know, I would like to see rotation. And, you know, I don't know if that played anything into this or not, but that's my only concern with this, is that we're not a deep roster anyway, and we don't utilize the subs that we have. And so we only use 13 players.
With that. 100%. I think we're a team that generally makes late subs.
Yeah.
And with the exception of Ian Serra, who I don't know. I feel like he pulls him early quite a bit. I don't know. But anyway, I feel like I'm kind of with you. We don't utilize our subs. We don't do a lot of rotation. Mm-hmm. But as far as the players that were out there, I mean, is that they're talented enough to win that game. They should win that game.
They should have won that game.
And there's just a mentality that has to be a professionalism that has to go along. And we talked about it briefly. This was a trap game one way or the other. Regardless of the result that we had against Cal United, this was going to be a trap game. Either we were going to be up and we're going to be going up to Syracuse playing a team that we know we are better than on paper, or we're going to be down going to Syracuse knowing that we're better than them on paper. But the bottom line is, either way, you got to go out, you got to execute, you got to perform. And Syracuse came with a game plan that did not look too dissimilar from previous game plans they've had. And they executed, and they were up for it. Their energy level was there. And then, you know, going down a man early, it almost played right into a Peter Fuller team's hands, in my opinion.
Well, and the thing too is that, you know, we talked last week about the fact that they looked better when they were here. Like, clearly they've been working on some things whenever we played them the last time. I mean, there were some, you know, points in the match whenever they were back in Chattanooga that could have caused some similar occurrences to happen. But that being said, the way that Syracuse played on Sunday was not too much different than how they played when they were in Chattanooga. So it's not something, it's not like we were playing an unfamiliar team. It's not like we didn't know what we were up against, the fact that they have gotten progressively better throughout the season. So I'm just a little shocked at how the outcome was. I mean, I don't know that it was tired legs, if they were down because of the loss the previous week, which we knew Cal United would be a hard match. I mean, that wasn't going to be any shock to us, but the team that we saw playing on Sunday was definitely not the caliber of what we've seen all season. That's
well,
for sure.
It's rough to say because of, you know, the red card significantly changes the game. I mean, it just does. We don't know if the team would have, you know, if we could have gotten it 1-0 into the half, or even if Stripling doesn't take the red and they score, we go 2-0 into the half at full strength. Do we come out in the second half, you know, a little bit different? You just don't know.
So Jim, in your opinion, what's the move there? Go down two to nothing into the half with 11 men, or keep it at 1-0 and go down to 10.
You know, I don't, as a defender right there, I think you panic. You don't want to give up a goal. And I mean, I think Stripling just kind of, he panicked a little bit and, you know, pulled the guy down. Now, I just think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see a defender go, "Ooh, I lost the ball, I'm just going to let him go in and score." I don't, you know, even though odds on, maybe that's the better choice, you know, because Reddington could have saved
because he still has to score.
Right, he still has to score. But I think in the moment, I think a defender is going to reach out and grab.
Yeah.
And I just think that's what's going to happen.
I agree. It's reactionary, like I said, yeah, in retrospect, I would rather went down 2-0, kept 11 men and see what happens. Well, and like I said, he still had to score the goal, and in a shot stopping situation, I like Reddington in that.
Yes. Yeah. So again, anyway, like, you know, Todd, like you said, Syracuse came out up for it. They immediately started playing very direct. And, you know, our back line, we're going to talk about this. Our back line did not have a great game.
No, they did not.
And initially I think it was Robertson. I think he's had a rough couple of weeks. He was involved in the defending for the Cal United goal. And he's the defender that's kind of one-on-one with their player who circles, he goes around the keeper and tucks it in. I think it was KJ, right? It was Caleb
with two goals against us. And I'll be honest with you, it's like the times that Caleb's played against us, I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah.
The way he plays against us. I mean, he takes it personally. It seems like every time he plays against CFC, yeah. And to be fair, we never got to see the best of him because of injury.
He got hurt. Yeah, he got hurt so early. It was at Detroit.
He got
hurt, at Detroit.
I don't think he ever recovered that season.
No, I don't think he did.
So it was, and I remember being disappointed about that because now we see why, because the guy does have that speed that keeps a back line honest, and that's a valuable asset to have. And on the day, he can definitely put the ball in the back of the net. So,
yeah, I mean, to be honest,
for taking the opportunity and play and with Syracuse and taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, he wouldn't be a bad fit in terms of how he's playing for our team right now. I mean, really, he wouldn't be. He's not scored a whole lot, but he has shown spurts.
What's the word you're looking for?
Spurts.
spurts.
I don't know what I'm saying. So let's just move on. So we give up a goal.
So go ahead.
I'm just saying we give up a goal. Things are bad. And then 4 minutes later, Colin Stripling gets caught in possession, loses the ball, and again, it kind of panics a little bit and brings the guy down. So is that a red card? Do we have to discuss if that's a red or not? No, I don't think so. No. I think that's pretty clear. I think it's pretty clear that it's a red. We'll talk about a slightly interesting, it was a yellow card where we had a similar situation where there, a Syracuse player took down, was it, one of the players, I can't remember who it was. And it may have been Taylor late in the second. And their announcers were talking about how it probably should have been a red. I don't know. We can talk about that when we get there, but so we get the red card to go down a man. And so it kind of goes from bad to worse there. And so, yeah, I mean, it's in the next couple of minutes after that, we got pinned in pretty well. I mean, Syracuse was applying a lot of pressure. And I think Dixon kind of stepped back to cover for the missing Stripling. But that meant we were light in the midfield and, things were not going well after that.
But at the same time, here's where I'm at with this team. This is a team that has enough quality in it that even with 10 men, I still be able, and I've seen them do it, I still kind of expect them to be able to take some air out of the game with their possession. Like, this is a team that's capable of doing that. So that's the part I was a little bit shocked that we were not able to do. We've seen them handle possession very well at times. And so I was a little bit shocked that we couldn't do that. We got under some pressure. And, you know, you go down to 10 men, you kind of expect that. I thought we would have handled it a little bit better. But when you look at the entirety of the day, not that day. That was
I think we did start to manage better when the substitution was made. And Sarah, we brought on, who did we bring on? Why can't I think of his name?
Are you talking about when we brought Spielman on?
Yeah, Spielman. Thank you. We brought on Nick Spielman and sub Sarah off and mm-hmm. allowed Dixon to kind of move back up into the midfield. I think that was around the 30th. It seems like it was the 30th, 31st minute, something like that. And for that point beyond up to halftime, you know, I think we were the better team. I mean, we had the better of the ball.
But you're once again, you're down 2-0. Syracuse is up 2-0. I mean,
just one at that time.
After two.
No, just one.
My issue is that plays right into Syracuse's hands. Like, they don't have to pressure. Like, their right. game is long ball anyway. So, I mean, there was really not an input. Like, to me, there was no need for them to really pressure CFC. Matter of fact, I would have said, keep the ball all you want mm-hmm. because this is going to play right into our hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what happened. Again, after the change, we did start to have better of the ball, at least until halftime. So we go in 1-0.
Did you like this Cyril Spielman change?
Sure. I think
is there anything else that you would have done?
I don't know.
Not that it would have made a difference. I would have loved to see actually just Spielman start out playing to see. I mean, I'm not sure that would have made a whole bit of difference, but I would like to see some of the folks that we are used to seeing who have been like literally played every game last season.
Well, and guess what? You're half of this season. Week. You get to see him on Saturday.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those, like, I think I would have liked to see that, to see what a difference it would have made, or if it would have.
Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, outside of Stripling getting caught in possession, he's been really, really good this year. I mean, this was a mm-hmm. bad game for, you know, I mean, Robertson's been good this year. He had a rough go of it at the very beginning, but he's been good. Stripling's been good. he just got caught in possession. That, you know, it
happens. I mean, the bottom line is that they've all been good. The record reflects that. But it's just that
this
when
game
you look at our three losses, I mean, we've lost to the best team in the league, and then we've also given up 6 points to the two worst teams in our division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good.
So, well, it's just that those are, man, would you like to have those 6 points right now in the standings?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Those are points that should have been in the bag, because the Flower City game was equally as bad, in my opinion.
Yeah. So we go through pretty much through the second half. It's kind of back and forth. It got pretty physical.
In my opinion, physical games is not what CFC needs to be about.
Yeah,
I would have bet money. Team like Syracuse's game.
I would have bet money that this was going to end 10-10. I mean, because Syracuse was, I mean, I.
Well, yeah, Sean Russell, the amount of, I mean, it got really physical. Yeah, and that they haven't been a physical team. That's the thing is, we have the advantage. We know several of these players because there's our special guest. We know several of these players because we saw them play, coached under Fuller last year. And so we know how physical they can get. I swear at one point.
We've lost you, Shelly.
Is she still talking with her headphones on?
I don't know if she's talking. I can't hear her. The presence of Mary has screwed everything up.
Mary just
shows up and immediately everything breaks. So where the hell were we? I don't even know where we were.
We were talking about how we thought it was going to end up TV 10.
TV 10. Yes. I did think Sean Russell.
That's all I heard.
Yeah. I said that Sean Russell, he got
called out in the last match versus CFC. And he came on Twitter and defended himself. Like, you know, you didn't mind when I played like this for you guys. Well,
we did. I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He did. So, but there's a difference. You don't play here anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, there is a small difference there. But,
yeah.
No, he always has a physical game, and I like Sean a lot. I like the way he plays. He's a hard working player, and also appreciate he's really vocal on social media about, you know, social issues, and I appreciate his honesty and stances on that stuff. But when he plays CFC the last couple of games, it's been very physical, and he's deserved every yellow card, if not an extra yellow card somewhere in there. So, it should have. Like, I thought that was a great opportunity. I'm really surprised that the ref did not take the chance to level that game up one red card each. I mean, you see it so often, and I thought, well, here we go, and it didn't happen.
Yeah. So we go through again. That, and I don't remember when this happened, but again, one of our players went through. He was grabbed by a Syracuse player. I'm pretty sure this was Taylor. He was grabbed by a Syracuse player. He did not immediately go down. I think if Taylor had gone down at that point, it would have been a red, because there wasn't another defender around. But Taylor breaks through, and I don't know if the ref played advantage or not. The guy then comes and fouls him again. And when he fouls him that time, there is a defender coming that's fairly close enough, and the ref stops play, gives the guy a yellow card, and points to the other defender. Now, the announcers said it should have been a red. I think when he actually called the foul, a yellow is probably right. But the initial foul did deny, I believe, Caleb the ability to go through on goal. It could have been a red. Like you said, Todd, you see that a lot. You see a ref taking the opportunity to level things out. That didn't happen. And then we go into the 80th minute around. It was late in the game where Caleb scored again. And then at the very end, in stoppage time, maybe, I think, Stephen McDonald slammed home, as our friend Jed said on the review, slammed home the third to make the final score 3-0 and send the boys in blue home with a loss.
I think it's just a bad feeling knowing we could have won the game. That hurts even more than, I mean, the Cal United doesn't even hurt. This hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
it did hurt, and kind of, I hate to backtrack to the foul on Caleb. I'm sorry, on Taylor, and we've talked about this before. 99% of the time, there is no advantage. This is one of the nuances of the game, right? There's no advantage most of the time to fighting through a tackle.
Yeah.
Because there's still too much to do most of the time, even if you make it through the tackle. And they're like, oh, well, soccer player's fault. Well, yeah, it's like, because that should have been a foul that was called. It should have been a red. But once again, it's one of the nuances of the game. Some players have a feel for this thing, those type things. Some players don't. Yeah. And we've seen Taylor. We've seen Taylor like run like a freight train through defenders. And he's a very physical player. He likes that kind of play. So it doesn't surprise me. And I'm not upset that he didn't go down. I'm just saying, like, if he had of, I think that would have been a red.
Well, I mean, because it's entirely likely that he pulls up, he runs out of that tackle, goes and finishes and evens the game up. I mean, at that point, we were still, I believe we were, yeah, we're still 1-0. So, I mean, you know, he could have. And if we score, then we change how we play. You know, and because at that point we'd back off, we would have backed off and probably settled for a draw.
Hey, make no mistake, I'm still pissed off about getting a point out of that game. Like, that's I'm at with this.
Sure.
Like, I'm still pissed.
Sure. Well, yeah, but I mean, game state matters. You're down to 10. You know, you've played. You got to play 82 minutes. Playing with 10. I mean, I think coming away with a point would have been like, oh, thank you. At least we got a point.
Oh yeah. 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 Given the situation. Yeah. I'm walking away and I'm like, yeah, we got a point. But yeah, if you told me at the beginning of the game, we're going to draw, I'm like,
No, that would, right. Not against Syracuse. So that puts us again. The good news is that we are still 7 points up in the East Division.
Well,
okay. I can't hear you, Shelly.
Said because we've done all these other games, it would feel really well.
Yeah, so we're still but, 7 points.
You know, at the same time, we're 7 points clear, but I think Michigan still has a game in hand. And if we're – and we need to be looking – you know, we're not looking to make playoffs here. We're looking at the big picture. We're trying to get position for home field advantage, because if we make it to the final, we want that to be at Finley. I mean, no one has any interest in playing that game at Cal or anywhere else. That game needs to be at Finley, like done and done.
And I think that ship has sailed now. But I think it was going to be rough. I think it was going to be rough with the loss to Cal. But
the money talks, though.
With that, what?
Money talks.
Oh, oh God, here we go.
Share the gate. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mary's right. To New York Cosmos.
Yes, I know. I know. Actually, I don't know why this came up. Somehow, I get some alerts, like Google alerts for mentions of CFC and other things. And I got this Google alert for an article that was put out in 2015. And I don't know. And I remember reading it in 2015. I don't know why I got it again, but it was actually the Red Bulls 2 blog. And it was talking about how Chattanooga gets everything. The MPSL just gives Chattanooga everything. Like,
it's handed to us on a silver platter.
Yeah.
For the record, if you were the Red Bulls, like, you would really want 18,000 fans in your stadium too.
Yeah. So I can't remember what the first example was, but the second example was that the Cosmos should have had the game because they had a better points per game than we did, but the MPSL move the game to Chattanooga because they knew they'd get a bigger crowd. And so I loved the salt of the article. It was all about, you know, Chattanooga gets everything. MPSL just does anything they want for Chattanooga. I just loved it.
Didn't we play New York Red Bulls at Red Bull Arena the year before?
We sure did. I was at that match. Yes.
Yeah, we did.
And it was such a glorious experience getting to play after the Red Bulls game when they
when everybody left,
people in the stadium. It was great.
Yeah.
We still outshowed up their own supporters.
Game should have actually, in my opinion, if they insisted on doing it, it should have been played before.
So anyway, back to Sunday.
Squirrel.
Right. Well, actually, back to now. We are awesome. And Todd, I think you just went to where I was going to go. The Stars have a game in hand. So that really makes this game on Saturday really, really important. Almost, a must win. If we lose, and then Stars win their game in hand, we're up by only a point in the East. And I did not think we were going to be there. I did not think we were going to, you know, after the way we've played throughout the kind of the early part of the season, I just did not expect the East to be that much of a challenge. And now
it's a psychological must win.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Because we're at home.
Yeah. We have a lot of things going on right now. Number one, we've lost two in a row. On another thing that we haven't even talked about, Nagelstad has hit a little, the goal scoring in the last several games has been whining. Nagelstad's hit a little bit of a dry patch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marcus has hit a dry patch. Nobody else is stepping up to put the ball in the back of the net.
Right.
So yeah, we're kind of going back to the beginning of the season, like where are these goals coming from? Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to have to step up and start producing some goals from somewhere. And I don't know if it's, do you think we're getting the chances? I mean, I feel like we got the chances against Cal. I felt like against Cal, it was just not putting in the back of the net.
Could it just be that the other teams defensively know that Marcus is a good player and that he is the goal scorer, so they're getting more coverage on that, which then affects, because he is the dominant scorer for the team, of it's just good defense on their part.
I don't disagree with that at all. But in that case, with that extra attention, somebody has got to step up.
Somebody's got to step up
and take that role.
Exactly.
And Marcus has got to be the guy with the back to goal that he can play, that other people need to play off of him. He needs to turn provider now if he's going to be so heavily marked.
Well, and we've gotten goals from the left. We've gotten goals from center. We have not gotten goals from the right side. Whether that's Brett or whether it is Ali, we've not gotten a lot of goals from the midfield. And so that, you know, I think Todd, that's what you're saying is that the goals have to come from, if they're going to mark Nagelstad off out of the game, that's going to mean that somebody else has space.
But you're also looking at it from the line of Marcus is a consummate professional. He was a professional before he came to us. Some of these players have only started their professional career with us and are slowly getting into that mindset that he just, to me, innately has. And it's making them understand the maturity of what that role is of, in spite of these two losses back to back, you have to still then show up. You still have to possess, you have to find those opportunities. And that is a question that each player can only decide.
I think that's, Mary makes a good point there, because we do tend to forget that these are, by and large, younger players still developing in that professional mentality of a show, bring your lunchbox every day, put the work in. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. You're playing against another group of professionals that they're putting food on their table by playing this game. And whether you're going to Syracuse or whether you're going to Cal or no matter what, like, this is another group of professionals you're playing. And they're playing for better contracts. They're playing for to better their situation. And yeah, I agree. Marcus does bring that to the table. And I think some of the younger players got a whole heaping plate full of that this past week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you add Richard on top of that as well, I mean, you've two biggies right there. And think about it too. I mean, we've got Red, who again is 22.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we have a very, very young, which is good, fresh legs that helps us out in some instances. But
and you bring up Rich. I mean, still just having such a solid season.
His footwork, it's just pretty to watch. It's just something to behold.
Well, and to me, just the dependability of him, at that
his leadership
has just
too.
It's been outstanding.
All right. So enough of that nonsense. All right. So. Enough of that. The Syracuse is done. It's water under the bridge. I don't want to talk about anymore. So we're going to go. We're going to play Stars on Saturday. Todd, outside of the obvious change, because Tripling is going to, you know, there's a one game suspension with a red. So we're going to have a change there. So I would assume that Spielman comes in to play center half. Do you make any other changes?
I'm going to hit you with a couple of things on this. Number one, yeah, Spielman comes in. I would like to see a little bit of rotation. One of the bigger things, I think, maybe on the other side of the field, like, what are we going to see from the Stars in terms of, you know, how are they going to play? Are they going to look at us and be like, okay, this is, you know, are we going to bring us another physical match? And how are we going to handle their physicality? Are we going to try to match it? Are we going to try to play our game? I feel like every time that we try to adjust our game for another team, it doesn't work so well. Like, I didn't like our posture versus Cal very much. I like it when we try to play our way of playing possession and we don't change for the other team.
I think
we have the talent to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What changes would you make, if any, to the lineup?
I
want to see Spielman start. I want to see him start again to see what happens.
I think he's going to have to. I mean, I think he's the next man up.
We want to see Coniglio in goal. That's what we want to see.
No, we don't need to see. We don't need to see Coniglio in his one ACL in goal. Any other changes? Todd, do you change up top or Shelley? Either one. Do you change anything up top?
Do you think we might see Juan at some point?
I only think we see Juan if we're up. I mean,
I don't think
we see Juan at the beginning of a game.
I'm not sure where I would like to see. I'd like to see Damian get a run out. I don't think we have seen him get more than a cameo, and I'm not sure that that's helping his confidence in the situations that he's coming in. So I would like to see him get a run out. I know that's an easy one to look at, but
he plays in the position where we have lacked goals. I mean, he plays on the right side up top.
That's one of the things I was going for. And I know he didn't score a bunch of goals last year, but at the same time, he held down that position. I thought he created chances last year. So I would like to see him get some time over there. Maybe give him 60 minutes. Give him 60 minutes and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, it would be nice to see him start. The thing is, though, is that he performed well last year. That's the thing is, I think he proved what he could do last season. So why not give him the chance, especially, we have a lot to lose, but at the same time, what do we have to lose? He might surprise you.
But also,
Go ahead, Mary.
Well, all I was going to say is you can see that that is part of it because last year he was on an academy contract. There was nothing for him to lose. It was all just go have fun and everything was extra gravy. And then this year, because he is signed, there's extra pressure. And again, just like Marcus, there could be because he was doing all of that, then people are looking for him to do that. So it could just be its own storm.
No, and I remember, I think we may have talked to, I think this may have been an interview actually, that you and I did with Jeremy, and he talked about, you know, there was going to come a point where, you know, some of these younger players, I mean, like Damian, were going to hit a wall, you know, to where, you know, they're not going to continue this meteoric rise, and they're going to hit a wall or a plateau, and it's how they fight through that. And I think that's kind of like, and Rod's coming in, a whole new coaching staff. And I think Damian was always going to have to prove himself over again to some degree because, you know, let's face it, Rod was brought in to do one thing, and that's win. And maybe the idea of handing it over, you know, such a big role over to a 20-year-old wasn't that, maybe it's not that enticing. But here's what I think. I think Damian can hold his own on the right side defensively. We saw him do that last year, and let's see what he can do offensively. Let's see what his creativity brings. And that's one thing he cannot do. He cannot play to not make mistakes. That is not who he is as a player. It wasn't who he was in high school. It's not who he was last year on the field. Like, he brought the oohs and ahs last year, and he's got to somehow, if he's feeling the pressure of that contract, he's got to figure out a way to not play like that.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see changes. I'll go ahead and just say that. I think we're going to see the same team. I think KG probably comes back in goal. And I think the only change we're going to see is a forced change with the red card. I do think it may, you know, I would like to see, it might be good to see somebody start and give Naglestad a couple of minutes off and then bring him on as a sub. But I just don't think we're going to see that. I mean,
I'll challenge the bench to this. Like, if they're not getting time, force the time. Like, you're not showing something. You're not showing something in training. You're not stepping up. You're not doing something. So yeah, force it.
Right. I don't blame. I'm not blaming coach for not subbing. There's a reason why he's not subbing. There's a reason why he's not rotating. And so, I think some of the guys that are on the bench are going to have to step it up. And when they get on the field, they're going to have to make an impact because, Nagelstad has done his job. I mean, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, he's not going to score two goals a game for the entire season. There were going to be times when other people had to step up and it's time for them to step up.
Well, it's not realistic to say, to rely on him to be the only person out there scoring. He's good, but it's not realistic because the thing is,
I'm going to kick back some on the midfield.
Sure.
Okay. Taylor had that run, where he banged in some goals. That seems to have dried up a little bit. He's still creating chances, but I'd like to see Ian bag some goals. I'd like to see McGrath get in there. So, and I expected both of them to be scoring more at a greater rate than what
they have been currently.
Given the other talent that is around them. And maybe that's unrealistic. I don't know, but I thought I would see it.
Yeah.
So what you're actually saying is that the team is not meshing. It's not one person not stepping up. It's that there is kind of a lack of trust and a knowledge of what your partner who you rely on is going to do.
Could be.
Yeah, and I think there's been an over-reliance on Nagelstad just to do Marcus stuff.
Just do what he does.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, and we talked about this last week, we have some tired legs. I mean, a lot of these players, they haven't had really many minutes off the field. And the more you keep going on that trajectory, it's going to increase the risk of worse fatigue, getting injured, things like that. And the last thing that we need is to have one player that we're relying on to do all of our scoring because he does it well, and then he gets injured. Then what are we going to do? We're really going to have to back up and punt. So at this point, it would be nice to have some change up, give some rest, obviously. And you don't have to do it right away, but have some subs. I know we aren't a team that does a lot of subbing or anything like that, but the thing is, if we don't, we were on such a good climb of our winning streak, and it had to be broken at some point. That happens. But if we also lose again this week, we knew that this was a tough half of the season. If we also lose this week, something's got to either change, or we need to be talking to the boys, what's going on? Like, is there something that can be done off the field to lift your spirits back up? Because we haven't seen this much losing in a long time. So
I'll tell you what's going to lift their spirits is about 3,500 people in Finley on Saturday. Big shout out to everybody for the last home game. And I was on vacation and I know it got spoiled by weather. But big shout out for everybody that stuck around for that game. Anytime you're enduring a big weather delay like that, we know we can lose a lot of fans. Yeah. And the fact that that's many stayed, it's really hats off to them. But hey, let's jump back in there Saturday night. Let's get a big crowd in there. And let's get 3 points and let's get this thing turned around and back headed in the right direction and get some confidence going again. I mean, that's all it is. And let's face it, goals not only change games, but they change attitudes, they change emotions. And you can jump right back where you left off and like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. And it's UTC nights. So that's a big thing too, which Jim already said he's coming to buy things from you, Mary.
Shocker.
Well, it's UTC night. And if you're listening to this on Friday, you're going to have to scroll back through the CFC store's Twitter feed to see a picture of a new item that they have out for CFC night. It's a nice gold shirt with a navy crest. I will most likely be purchasing one.
Most likely. You will be purchasing probably two, maybe a third for Luna.
I still don't have a shirt.
Then maybe you need to get Luna a shirt.
Maybe so. So it is UTC night. I hope to see a lot of my colleagues and a lot of our students out at the game. I'll be there.
Hey, let's steer this into like a UTC conversation and about bringing UTC students to games and that sort of thing. And maybe Mary can speak on this a little bit from a marketing perspective, maybe about bringing, getting UTC as committed. I mean, we share the same colors. This is not a stretch.
And that's intentional too.
Let's intentionally get some kids there.
And our new hooligan scarf matches too.
Yeah, and there's something else I need to buy. I haven't bought that
yet. Jim, I offered to give it to you from my trunk.
I know. So I'll just say this. If you go on campus or walk around campus, there are times when you see advertising for another team, but you don't see advertising for CFC.
So. I can already speak to this, is I know that it is on the ticketing team's radar and that they are working, and UTC students do get a discounted ticket. So they have no excuse as to why they can't go.
And right. Jim, hypothetically speaking, if someone hypothetically walked through campus and had an arm spasm and with that things flew from the walls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I listen, I'm not doing it because
I'm just saying hypothetically, I'm not doing it either.
They are appropriately posted in the right place. That would not be, you know, I'm not going to be doing that. But
if hypothetically speaking, someone had an arm spasm walking through the student center.
Yeah. I'm not gonna address that. I can either confirm nor deny.
You can confirm where these said placements are.
Make it geocaching.
I could. Ooh, I could do
there
that.
You go.
Right. So anyway, it's just we get off this topic.
because when they go missing, I don't want to answer anything about it.
Right. It's not
I don't
not
know
me.
What you're talking about.
Right. I don't know what it's, you speak I'm of. Not,
we got cameras, I'm just saying. So so yeah, so it is CFC night. I hope we have a big crowd. Let's
and the cause
gears.
Of the night. Do you see what the cause of the night is?
Yes, I did, and now I'm drawing a blank.
How dare you?
Oh, it's food. Is it food bank? Is it the food bank this weekend?
It's back to school, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, the back to school was the school supplies was last week or mm-hmm. last game. Oh. Is it the food bank this week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, I pay attention.
And we've got La Paz coming up too. So.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was. Wait a minute. Isn't it La Paz?
Is that joint or is that the next?
Or is it two? Are there two?
Usually they only like to do one cause
yeah,
of the
I thought
night.
It was the
unless...
pause, but there was something about the food bank that the club put out. So anyway, I think the cause is whatever. It's, you know, support both.
And there's also a cornhole tournament this weekend too.
Yeah, I don't really care about that.
So, yeah, but you can show up and support because they're going to have other food trucks. And
listen,
King of
I will.
And
what? Wait, what? Wait a minute. Other what? Other food trucks? What?
Other food trucks. King of Pops will be there.
Okay.
I hope I'm not giving anything away.
Oh my God, there's the possum.
Nobody listens, Mary. It doesn't matter. So okay.
It is food bank as the cause of the night, yeah, FYI. Right.
If you did listen to us last week, was it last week, Shelly, where we said we need a food truck night? And that's what
we wanted a full on food truck night.
We gave
food truck all the time. If we can literally just sit. Yeah, we just want to sit on the grass, the hill, and just gorge on mangonadas and other delicious food truck food.
And we gave examples, so I suggest everyone go back and listen, and then go to your favorite food truck and tell them they need to be at Findlay. But are we done? We're done. We're done.
No,
we need to talk.
Not we're not done.
No, we got to talk about some NISA nonsense. There is a match that is not happening this weekend. It was quote unquote postponed. There had been stories around Bay Cities having some financial troubles for a while. The Knights podcast did kind of teased a little bit of information about them. And then a couple of days later, NISA announces that their game with Maryland has been postponed. I'm going to go ahead and say I will put myself on the record and say, I bet this match never happens. I think we're going to have another, I mean, it's not a Valley situation because nobody is accusing Bay Cities of doing anything.
No,
illegal. It's just
unless
that
you know things we don't,
but no. Just remember the last time a match was postponed, the team folded. So,
yeah. So so that means if you're keeping track, we had four expansion teams in NISA, right? Mm-hmm. We had Bay Cities, we had Flower City, we had Valley, and we had Syracuse. So Valley
has gone
into the Valley of Death, and and
a very
now,
bad pun, like actually bad.
I know.
Their consolidation.
Bay Cities.
Their acquisition. They got.
Bay Cities is floating away, I think. So you've got Syracuse, who there are.
And there's a potential merger on the horizon.
Yeah, so there's either a merger of Syracuse and Flower City, or one of them or both of them aren't coming back.
Oh, I was going to come in and say
consolidation. They're in, what is it? What do they call it?
No, it wasn't Flower Power. That's not what it was. We don't need to get into that nonsense again. So Todd wasn't here. Todd wasn't here when that came up, and we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about that. So who invited Mary? What is going on? She was not supposed to be here. But so we've got
things real well. You're welcome.
Yes. So it's not great. The expansion teams aren't great. And so Todd, I'm going to ask you. We're going to do a little role play. You are the Savannah Clovers. How do you feel right now saying that you're going to be coming into NESA next year?
Pull the plug.
Like, we're not doing that?
Nope. I pull the plug. 100% I pull the plug. The only, I will say this. Savannah has actually, this club has been around for several years now. They have cultivated a following in Savannah. They have slowly and I think built things up where I think they have a foundation. So I think it's okay for them to make the next step. But it gives me pause, and I'm not saying they should go to another league, but I think if I am them, I'm seriously considering holding my position as amateur for one more year and to see how things.
They can't go to USL. So
what's that?
They can't go USL.
Oh, because somebody owns the rights to USL.
Because Tormenta, they're in Tormenta's
Tormenta territory.
Territory.
That's like an hour away.
I don't make the rules.
They're in different metropolitan areas. Who decided to put a team in Statesboro?
This isn't
anyway?
Like the other leagues where you can make up your own rules every week. Right.
This is an MLS where you can make up rules.
Anyway. I would still just hold. I don't think there's any reason for them to make that move unless they've already committed from a contract perspective.
Right.
But I would be willing to hold for a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, they did take this year off to kind of prepare for next season. So
it's got to give you a pause though, right? Shelley,
I
want to
know what Jack
pause.
Wagon's driving from Savannah to Statesboro to watch a game.
Okay. Listen, I don't make the rules. Todd.
I mean, when we played in Savannah, we actually had people who drove over. They were CFC fans for driving from that way, but it's fine.
Yes. I mean,
if you build it, they will come, Todd.
Okay. I don't
stop
know
it.
What you're what the hell's happening.
So anyway, that's my thing for Savannah. I just don't see any reason that they have to jump.
Have to press it.
Have to. I would wait and see how this thing unfolds because I mean, if your anchor, if they're looking at CFC as their anchor, then I don't know if we don't even know if CFC is going to be here next year. And once again, we're not having this repeat podcast again. But at the same time, it's like I look at this and I'm like, there might be a reason for us to be out of this. I mean, if we can't even get sanctioning.
Well, I was going to ask Todd. I put you on the spot. Now, Mary, you did not have to answer this question. I don't expect
you're allowed
you to
plead the fifth if you
Yay.
Need to.
Yeah, I don't expect you to answer this. So, Shelly, now you have to role play. You are CFC.
Oh, well, this kind of it was this kind of podcast.
You are CFC. What do you think we should be doing next year? Because right now I think what we have been told or what we have heard from I mean the Knights have reported it and is that there was some announcement or some statement, not those are both too formal for what actually happened, but that there was something said that we would be in NESA next year.
There when that was said.
Yes. But it wasn't, it was somebody leaked it to Knights and they reported it, but
yes.
I'll just put you on the spot. Does this give you pause? Does the Bay Cities thing give you pause and say, wait a minute, I don't know that we need to be doing NESA again?
I mean, at this point, I mean, if New Amsterdam didn't take me out, then Bay City doesn't really concern me as much just because of the fact that they were expansion teams. We already have California teams anyway as well. It's not like losing one is going to be an issue. I mean, if my thought process has always been that regardless of the league for next season, I just want it to be a stable league as much as we can be stable, and it for us to, you know, not and have for the, to regress. And for you,
that's NISA, the stable league.
I never thought I would say it might be stable. It's more stable with Fruit Street gone, but I wish we could find a way where we could switch leagues.
Yeah.
But what does that look like? I mean, we know we can't do USL, got territory rights issues. So, and we can't go back to being, amateur. You know, an amateur team. So it's either create another league, you know, been down that road.
No, your choices, Shelley, are hang in NISA and hope it works out for another year. Go to MLS Next Pro or continue to try to work a way into USL. Those are your options.
Well, the only reason I would say MLS Pro over any of them, and it's not because you can make up your own rules, you know, on the fly, is because we know that MLS wants to obliterate USL, and nothing would see me more satisfied than one Mr. Utah having to grovel and beg to not lose his precious little tax write-off. So, you know, the petty side of me would love that for no other reason than for to see that one go down. But, you know.
Let me get in on this one. I think, I don't know where we should go, but we should be leveraging ourselves not to commit to NISA. Whatever that looks like yeah. I would be not. And here's the thing. I think if it's the last second, I think NISA lets us back in because they need us. Like, we don't necessarily in a position to need them. I still believe behind the scenes that Chattanooga FC is running like 90% of this league.
I think, Todd, unfortunately, that's where you're wrong. You know, again, if you haven't listened to the last 30 minutes of the latest Knights Who Say NISA, you need to, because they finally reached the end of their rope with NISA, and they went on a little bit of a rant. And one of the things they said was, it was really interesting. I think the main problem with NISA is that the FO and the leadership are not listening to the teams that know what they're doing. They focus all of their attention on the clubs that don't know what they're doing, and at the expense of those who do. Like, it's like, okay, CFC, you know what you're doing. You just go and do your thing. We know, you know, we'll make you travel across the country, but if somebody else can't do that, we'll shift everybody else's schedule for it. But because you know what you're doing, you can, you know, you're just going to go and do what you do. I hadn't thought about that. And, you know, and again, I'll give the Dans and John, I mean, it's one of the major problems. And yes, it's the Prutches, and it's not only just the Prutches, it's Bob Freeland with LA Force. I mean,
well, yeah, but here's the thing too, is that, think of it in their way. Who are you going to have more buy-in to do what you know, to take your direction, do what you say you're going to do? The people who don't know what they're doing, because they don't know what they're doing. So they're banding together like a bunch of herding cats. And that's why we're in the state that we're in. We need to have a different direction from there as well.
Here's my concern. We talked about, let's just say for argument's sake, that Bay Cities can't do it and they get out. So they're gone. And that also means, you know, Valley is already gone. So without Bay Cities, we are at 8 teams. Okay. Right now we're at 8. If anything happens to Syracuse, Flower City, or both of them, we're down to 7 or 6. Now, I know that we've got an expansion team with Savannah. Let's just say Syracuse goes and Flower City stays, or there is some Pulse Flower combination. So let's just say for argument's sake that there is that. So that leaves us with 7 teams, and then Savannah comes in and makes 8, and then Thousand FC or Thousand Oaks or whatever, if that actually happens, maybe that makes 9. I don't know that it's ever going to happen, but maybe. So that means we could have a league next year if Bay Cities is the only one, Bay Cities and one of Pulse or Pulse Flower, one of them leaves. That leaves us with 9. But if anything happens with Flower City and Syracuse and Savannah gets cold feet, you know, we're looking at seven teams. And so it's really on kind of a knife's edge. Cause I just don't think Thousand Oaks or whatever it is, whatever they're called, is real. I just don't know that they're real. So, anyway, I don't know. I forgot Gold Star. Okay. So we have Gold Star too, who apparently is building a stadium and
Andorran all-star team.
Right. And the Andorran club's going to be a part of NISA. It's going to be the first European member of the National Independent Soccer Association. So yeah, I think there are ways to get to eight or nine teams. So it looks like NISA can make it another year.
Are we just tired of being part of this stupid conversation now?
Yes.
Exactly. I'm very tired of it. So that's where I'm at with it. Like, I'm tired of trying to make it work. Like, I just want to go and play and not be like, oh, are we going to be in a league next year? Like,
Jeremy, is that you?
Like, an old conversation. Well, I mean, I get it. Like, I hate USL and the bunch of buttholes that they are over there. And I hate MLS and they're, you know, trying to save face. The only reason they're interested in independent clubs is so they can put a knife in USL. It's all just a stupid conversation that's being had. And we all know why it's being had. It's because USSF is bad words.
Yeah, but there's a really salty side of me that wants to stick a knife in USL.
No, I want to stick a knife in all of them. USL, MLS, USSF. I mean, to hell with all of them. Yeah. It's just that, you know, the club, unfortunately, the club that I love will be sacrificed because of all that. And we are a club that should not be struggling. The reason we're struggling is because we play in this crap league. And I think it does affect things like the players that we get. Like, oh, we get, like, last choice. No offense to any of our players.
No.
I love our players. But it makes it difficult for us because of the league we're in. And people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to go play in NISA if I have, you know, an equal offer in USL.
Correct.
And I'm not talking about here at Chattanooga, but just in general, it affects everything.
Yeah. Well, that was fun.
It always is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think, oh, and now just Todd, he said, peace out. We just lost Todd on the Zoom. So Elon must be investing in NISA and heard us talking and cut Todd's internet. He may be back in just a little bit. So Shelly, anything else that you want to talk about? Mary, anything? Oh, we talked about the new merch. Anything else you want to share? Like any new merch that you want to break here on the 423 Soccer Pod? No, she's just looking at me. And their audio doesn't work. So okay, this is great. Hey, this is.
Can you hear us now?
Oh, now.
Okay,
I was talking.
Yeah, no, you just missed exactly what she just leaked for you, Jen.
You're out of luck now.
Nobody makes it this far in the podcast anyway. So,
yes, they do. Our three listeners that we have do.
Yeah. But we completely lost Todd. He's just gone.
You made him mad.
I think that this whole league talk is just kind of like, peace out. That or Elon is going to buy a new league along with Man United. Maybe that's what it is.
Right. That's true. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, he did say.
Yeah, remember he tweeted that he was buying Man United this week.
I was like, please go ahead and do that.
Go for it.
Hey, we've got a game on Saturday. Let's get out there and support the guys. While we're getting ready for the game, Shelly, where can they find you on Twitter to yell at you about your takes?
My hot takes. You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
Mary, you're not on Twitter, so you know. Where, but can they find you anywhere on the interwebs? Nope, they can't. Nope. You cannot find Mary.
You can find her in the merch booth.
Find her in the merch booth. Go say hi. Tell her the 423 Soccer Pod. Since you
bring her snacks and she will
give you she will give you nothing off of your next purchase.
Maybe if you're nice.
If you bring her snacks and a cold beverage.
Oh, that's okay. Well, and Todd, you know, you can find him at Great Footballer on Twitter. He also does our Facebook page. If you want to, you can find me, block me. You can mute me if that's what you want to do, at Chattagooner on Twitter. And with that, we will see you on Saturday for CFC against the Stars. Go CFC.
Go Blues.
Shot from Wilshere off the other side of the crossbar. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.